Why would I? What happened between us occurred when we were children. Yet my fiancé is entertaining another man while half-naked in my house. Anger surges, but I press my lips together, mentally tamping it down. I open the top desk drawer and pull out the recorder I still use on occasion, when I have an idea that I don't want to forget, or when I need to dictate a letter for my assistant Kelsey to draw up, and I want to get the wording just right. Caroline's eyes go wide when she spots the recorder. What's that? Are you willing to retell every single sordid detail of what you saw last Friday afternoon? When she nods slowly, I add, May I record you while you tell it? The wary expression on her face doesn't surprise me.
Who are you going to replay this tape for?
It'll be for my own personal use, I reassure her.
Tiffany won't hear it?
I don't want Tiffany to know you're involved. I'll keep her out of it if I can, but no guarantees. We're both silent for a moment, and all I can hear is my racing heart. No one ever likes to learn they've been lied to and cheated on, but for some particular reason, I have to admit that when it comes to Tiffany, I'm not surprised. How sad is that?
All right, Caroline finally agrees with a little nod. You can record me.
Perfect. I hit the proper button and set the recorder in the middle of the desk. If you could start from the beginning.
9. Caroline. And that's when I ran to my roommate's car and left. I finish, reaching for the bottle of water Alex brought to me about halfway through my story. He'd canceled the rest of his appointments for the day, sent his assistant, Kelsey, home early, locked his office door, and then watched me with the keen intent of a hawk studying its prey while Friday afternoon's events at his house poured out of me. I drain the rest of the water and he turns off the recorder, his expression void of any emotion. How he can hold it together while I mentioned all of those embarrassing details about the woman he loves, I'm not sure, but he does. He sat behind his desk as still as a statue while I talked about Tiffany in her black lacy panties and nothing else, and the man who hurled her over his shoulder, making her squeal. There's no way I would have ever said this to Alex, but she looked like she was having fun. Not that it's right for her to betray him like this, but if it's so easy for her to be with someone else and they're not even married yet, why in the world are they engaged? Do they even love each other? Like, really? Doubtful. Alex exhales slowly, loudly. I place the lid back on my now empty water bottle and clutch it in my hands, giving it a squeeze so it makes that weird, crackly sound. It's so loud in the otherwise still of the room. I don't know what to do or what to say. This moment is about as awkward as it gets, and we had our share of middle school awkward moments, trust me.
Thank you for repeating your story,
he finally says, his voice low, his expression shuttered. He is as closed off as a person can get.
I know that was difficult.
I'm sure it was even more difficult for you to hear, I say. I need a reaction, just to see that he's human. But he's offering up nothing. He pauses before admitting.
It was.
What are you going to do next? The moment the question is out, I regret it. I'm sorry, it's none of my business. We don't really even know each other, so please, forget I asked.
No, it's okay. We share a past.
He smiles at me, but it feels fake, like a quick stretch of his lip muscles, and that's it.
You're allowed to ask that question.
All because of a childhood friendship? I'm trying to lighten the moment, and I swear his smile grows, to the point that it appears a little more real.
The last time we saw each other, we were more than friends, don't you think?
He raises a brow, that single brow I find so freaking sexy. I blink at him. He didn't forget the kiss. Nervous laughter bubbles forth as if I have no control over it. We were kids. It didn't mean anything.
I couldn't admit it to you then, because I was shy and insecure, but I had a massive crush on you.
He confesses, the smile fading.
Carter would have killed me if he ever knew most of the time when I went over to your house, it was so I could see you, even for just a little bit.
I laugh again, not feeling so nervous this time, though my heart is fluttering wildly in my chest. It's more like I'm thrilled with his confession. You had a crush on me? He nods.
I couldn't talk to girls back then. It was like my vocal cords froze every time I got near one. Unless that girl was you.
Aw, I had no clue he felt that way. You were always nice to me, I tell him. Nicer than any of Carter's other friends.
Because I liked you.
All I want to ask is why. I was 12 and hideous.
You weren't hideous.
It was my ugly duckling stage, I say. And it so was, I swear. I look back on photos from that time period and all I can think is, sheesh.
It was my ugly duckling stage too,
he agrees.
I was going through a lot then. My family, they put huge expectations on me from the time I was very young. All the tremendous pressure that came with being their heir to the family business didn't exactly fill me with confidence. Instead, it scared the shit out of me.
That's so sad. I want you to know, I had no idea you were from the Wilder Corporation family.
Really?
He raises his brows, more shocked by my little revelation versus the horrible story I told him about his fiancé. Geez, I hope not.
Well, that shouldn't surprise me. It wasn't something I talked about with my friends at that age. I didn't want anyone to know I came from a lot of money. I wanted to feel
normal. I finish for him and he nods. We remain quiet for a moment until I say, I'm sorry about Tiffany. He presses his lips together and gives me a quick nod, one of those I'll be just fine gestures men give when they are feeling anything but fine.
I'm going to end the engagement. If not tonight, then soon.
My mouth drops open for a moment and I have to remind myself to close it. Are you sure you want to do that?
I don't want to be with a woman who doesn't want to be with me.
Stated so simply, his words make total sense. You believe my story? He seems offended by my question.
Would you have any reason to lie?
Of course not, I shrug. Though Tiffany will probably accuse me of lying.
Anything to save face.
He spits out. Ah, there's some emotion. He sounds bitter. Panic hits me, and I press my hand to my chest, telling myself to calm down. I don't want to be the reason they break up. Oh, I know that I'm not the only reason, but I am a huge contributor to their engagement's demise. Just, if she has something to say, maybe you should listen to her. His lips pop open, ready to protest, I'm sure, but I hold my hand up to halt him from speaking. You should probably let her explain herself.
Why? So she can lie and spin a story that is absolute bullshit? I don't think so.
He rises to his feet, and I note the exhaustion in his features, lids heavy over his brilliant blue eyes. I bet he's emotionally and mentally tired.
I really appreciate your help, Caroline. More than you'll ever know.
I stand as well, slinging my bag over my shoulder, still clutching the empty water bottle in my other hand. I don't feel like I helped you, Alex. Not at all. He smiles, chuckling, though there's not much humor in the sound.
You saved me from marrying a woman who's cheating on me. I'd say you're a huge help.
Alex walks me to the office door, his hand at the small of my back, guiding me, my skin tingling where he's touching me. It's so inappropriate for me to have these thoughts, these feelings, but I wonder, does he feel it too? The low, simmering attraction between us? A shared kiss when we were middle schoolers didn't seem like such a big deal only a few days ago. In fact, I'd mostly forgotten about it over the years. But after seeing him again, I can't help but wonder how he kisses now, or what he tastes like. Yikes, this is so bad. The man is still engaged. He's going to break up with his fiancée because of what I told him, over what I saw. This entire situation is a twisted mess. The water bottle slips out of my fingers and falls to the ground, and when I try to grab it, I somehow trip on the rug, sending myself careening into Alex. He grabs hold of me so I don't take the both of us down, stopping me in my tracks, his strong arms wrapped tight around my waist, his big hands spread across my back, our bodies nestled close. An electric hum courses through my body at first contact, and slowly I glance up to find him studying me, lips parted, breathing shallow, gaze locked on my mouth. I'm tempted, so tempted, but this can't happen, not like this, not now. I brace my hands on the solid wall that is his chest and give him a gentle push. It's the wake-up he needs. He blinks himself back into focus, his arms falling away from me.
You're all right.
His voice is rough, and he runs his hand through his hair, making a complete mess of it. Sorry, I almost knocked you down too. I run my trembling hands down my front, straightening my skirt. My entire body is taut, like a wire being pulled from end to end, and I exhale shakily, offering him a quick smile. It was nice to see you again, despite the circumstances.
I feel the exact same way.
His words echo in my mind when I leave his office, when I walk down the hall that leads to the lobby of the Wilder Pebble Beach Hotel. The restaurant nearby is packed with people, their voices echoing, and I realize I don't want to be alone tonight. I need to gather up my girls. Ten. Once I climbed into Stella's car, I sat there and rounded up my troops, aka my best girlfriends, via group text for a night of Italian food and drinks at our favorite restaurant in downtown Carmel. Stella's older brothers just so happen to own and run the restaurant, so they give us VIP treatment every time we go there. VIP treatment means we get a decent table without having to make a reservation. They give us a discount on the alcohol and our meals, plus we get free appetizers. We, in return, have to make sure to Instagram our food and drinks and tag the restaurant. This is a win-win deal for all of us. Right now, I need discounted alcohol and free appetizers like I need my next breath. After the fraught with tension, mostly sexual, OMG meeting with Alex, I called Iris and said there was no way I could possibly come back to work, right? She agreed and let me have the rest of the afternoon off. So instead of working, I splurged and went and got a blowout and a gel manicure. And dang, I feel like a new woman as I walk into Tuscany with my shades on, scanning the restaurant for the table with my best friends. But none of my friends are here yet. Maybe that's because I'm a full 15 minutes early. I'm greeted at the door by Stella's big brother, Michael, and I stash my sunglasses in my bag just as he approaches with a giant smile on his face.
Caroline, aren't you looking mighty fine?
He says, giving me a hug. He greets me this way every single time we see each other. He thinks he's funny, rhyming my name, and I humor him by letting him believe I think it's funny too. Michael, thank you for letting us have a table so last minute. I return the hug and give him a kiss on the cheek. You don't know how badly I need this. He pulls away from me, his hands still grasping my shoulders.
Having a tough Monday.
The toughest, I tell him as he leads me to our table. The restaurant is mostly empty, though I can see the bar is already starting to fill up. It is a little after five, so happy hour has already kicked in. I need a glass of wine.
Coming right up,
Michael says as he pulls the chair at the head of the table out for me.
Have a seat. Once everyone begins to arrive, I'll have your server bring the appetizers out.
I settle in, already snapping photos of the table with the pristine white tablecloths and the elegantly simple silver stemware, the cluster of red roses in a clear glass vase sitting in the middle. The restaurant is aesthetically pleasing, which makes it ultra easy to photograph and share on social media. Stella is the first of my friends to arrive, which is no surprise considering we live so close. She's wearing a long floral sundress that's extra flowy and practically covers her feet. "What's with the dress?" I say in greeting as I give her a quick hug before she sits down. "You could hide a baby under there, maybe two." "I wanted something fashionable yet comfortable," Stella answers with a defensive shrug. "Oh no, I hurt her feelings when I didn't mean to." "You look fabulous," I tell her, taking a sip from the glass of wine Michael just brought me. "No, I look fat," Stella scowls at me. "I want to wear flowing dresses and look like a hippie fresh from Coachella, and instead, you asked me if I'm pregnant." "I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going for the fashionable boho look." Stella went to Coachella a few years ago, and she's always wanting to go back and take me with her. But my idea of fun doesn't involve doing lots of drugs, drinking lots of alcohol, wearing freaky outfits, and baking in the sun in the desert. In other words, Stella sometimes thinks I'm absolutely no fun. Not that Stella did lots of drugs, but she did confess she ate a few edibles. "Whatever, I'm being sensitive. Ignore me." Stella leans forward, her voice low. "Tell me what happened with Alex." I texted her both when I arrived at and when I left the Wilder Hotel, so she doesn't really know any details yet. "He believed me." Stella's eyebrows shoot up.
"He did?"
I nod, taking another sip of my wine. I'm probably going to drown my anxiety in alcohol tonight, and hopefully I'll have no regrets. "He recorded my statement, so to speak."
"Wait a minute. He recorded you? Like a cop?"
Another nod. "He promised me he wouldn't play it for Tiffany, though."
"And you believed him?"
Stella sounds incredulous. "Of course I did. He believed me." That sounds so simple. Huh. Too simple, maybe.
"Why would he record you telling him what you saw if he wasn't going to play it for his fiance, hmm? It makes no sense. He just can't go to her and say, 'Heard you're cheating on me, we're through.'"
"It doesn't work like that. He needs evidence." Stella points at me.
"And you're the evidence."
"How do you think their conversation is going to go down then?" Shit. I was sort of hoping it worked exactly like that.
"She's going to deny his every accusation. It'll turn into a huge argument because she has a lot to lose. He's rich as hell, and that's probably half the reason she's marrying him," Stella explains.
I don't doubt what Stella's saying. It's just so incredibly sad.
"When she asks for proof, he'll whip the recording out and she'll hear your voice, and yep, she'll know you're the one who ratted her out," Stella continues, leaning back in her chair with her arms crossed.
"You make me sound like a jerk," I tell her.
"That's because Tiffany What's-Her-Name is going to think you're a jerk. I know you're not one, and I'm betting old Alex Wilder doesn't think you're a jerk either, so you're fine."
Stella waves another dismissive hand. But I think about what Stella said as more of our friends show up, as the appetizers start appearing on our table. I don't want Alex playing that recording for Tiffany. I should have never agreed to him recording me in the first place. That was a stupid move. Like, real stupid. Like, I wish I could contact Alex again and tell him I want that recording destroyed. Not like I signed a contract or anything. I'm not legally bound to him. I've changed my mind, and I no longer want that recording to exist. Easy as that.
"Are you okay, Caroline?"
My friend Sarah is sitting to my right, and she's resting her hand on my arm, her gaze full of concern. She works at a high-end lingerie store that's not too far from Noteworthy, and we do lunch together at least once a week. I consider her a good friend, probably my closest after Stella.
"You look a little preoccupied."
"I'm fine." I rest my hand over hers and give it a squeeze. "Just a lot on my mind."
"Want to talk about it over lunch? Maybe on Wednesday?"
Sarah asks.
"That sounds good."
Sarah would listen to my crazy story without judgment. That's what I love about her. Actually, I love that about all my friends. None of them really judge me too hard.
"Oh, we give each other shit for fashion choices. Stella's flowy dress is an example.
And sometimes we're hard on each other when it comes to our love lives. But it's never mean-spirited. More than anything, we try to uplift each other."
That's what friends are for, right? I love my girls, and they love me. I've already had 2 glasses of wine, and I'm working on my third. I'm a little emotional. I also need to pee, so I excuse myself from the table and make my way to the bathroom. Every table at the restaurant is full, and the bar is packed, so I'm squeezing through crowds, smiling at familiar faces. Carmella's a small town, and when you live in the area your entire life, then end up working here too, it kind of feels like you know everyone. After I'm finished, I exit the bathroom and cut through the bar, headed for my table when I spot a familiar face sitting alone. Stopping in my tracks, I study her, and I'm pretty sure that's Alex's assistant. Hey! I approach her and she turns, a faint smile curling her lips for the briefest moment before it disappears. Aren't you... Kelsey, I work for Alex Wilder. Her little smile remains in place, and it's feeble at best. Maybe she doesn't want to talk to me? You're Caroline. Yes, hey, good to see you again. I'm about to leave, considering how awkward this feels, but then I notice how her smile falls away completely, replaced by a full-on down-in-the-dumps expression.
I'm pretty sure I've just been stood up,
she admits, her voice cracking.
Aw.
I reach out and touch her upper arm, then pat her shoulder.
No way.
Yeah, I think so.
She nods, her jaw working. If she cries over being stood up, I'm going to get mad on her behalf, I swear.
He's 45 minutes late, and he won't answer my texts or calls.
What an asshole! Like, you're the most beautiful woman in this entire bar.
I shake my head.
And I'm not saying that because I'm drunk, either.
Kelsey laughs.
I think you're my new best friend.
I'm serious.
I laugh with her. So, tell me what happened.
I don't know what went wrong.
We met at a co-ed bridal shower a few weeks ago. We just clicked, you know? We exchanged numbers and we've been texting for weeks. Our schedules were always so busy, though, it was hard for us to make a date. So we finally decided to meet here tonight for drinks and dinner, and now he's a total no-show. Kelsey frowns. And even when she does that, she's still devastatingly beautiful. I should sort of hate her.
I don't understand why he didn't show up. He hasn't called me or texted me with an excuse. It's just so weird.
Maybe he freaked out, I suggest.
Freaked out over what?
That you're so beautiful. Maybe he doesn't think he measures up.
Kelsey's cheeks turn pink.
I'm not that beautiful.
You're absolutely freaking gorgeous. I noticed that first thing when I saw you in the office earlier.
She pats my arm.
You're way too sweet.
No, I'm actually not, I tell her, making her laugh. But I am honest.
Her laughter dies, but she's still smiling, and that makes me happy.
I'm glad you stopped and talked to me. You made the night a little better.
I can make it a lot better, I tell her. You should join our table.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
She starts to protest, but I shake my head, taking her hand and pulling her off the bar stool. I insist.
I spot Stella's other brother working behind the bar.
Tony, add this lady's drink to our tab, okay?
Got it, Caro.
Tony yells, giving me the thumbs up.
Are you serious? I don't want to crash your date.
Kelsey says as I take her hand and lead her into the restaurant.
I'm not on a date. I'm having dinner with a bunch of friends, I explain.
I don't want to crash your party either.
You're not crashing anything. We love new friends. Trust me.
We stop at the table and I put my arm around Kelsey's shoulders.
Everyone, this is our new friend Kelsey. Kelsey, this is... everyone.
They all shout their hellos, and soon chairs are moving, an extra one is found, and Kelsey is wedged between me and Sarah at the end of the table. I'm so, so tempted to pick her brain about Alex Wilder and what she might know about him, but I can't do that. I'll look like some sort of psycho, and that's not cool. But God, there are so many questions I could ask her.
I drink another glass of wine, and so does Kelsey. And soon, I don't have to ask her anything. She just starts volunteering information.
So, you know Alex, huh? Are you guys, like, friends?
Kelsey's cheeks are flushed. She's a lightweight like me, and I know this is probably the alcohol talking, which isn't good. But I don't care. I want the dirt.
We knew each other a long time ago. I tell her, and she gets a sly look on her face.
Former lovers?
My body goes hot at just hearing the word lovers. Yikes, I'm a perv. One kiss when I was a tween definitely doesn't make us lovers.
No, more like old childhood friends, sort of. Alex was my older brother's best friend when I was, like, 12.
Oh, interesting. Kelsey nods, a little smile curving her full lips.
Not like we hung out that much. Well, we sort of did. He'd come over to our house a lot, I explain. We reconnected only a week ago. I work at the stationery store where he and his fiance ordered their wedding invitations and saved the date cards. I clamp my lips shut when I notice the slightly dazed look in Kelsey's eyes. I'm totally rambling.
Oh, yeah, Tiffany.
The sour expression on Kelsey's face cannot be denied. Seeing it gives me a giddy feeling I shouldn't have.
You don't like her?
I keep my voice even. I don't want to betray that I don't like her either. The cheater.
Oh, God, I hate her. And it sucks because I have to be nice to her since I work for him. She's so awful. Pretty sure she's marrying him for his money and that's it.
Kelsey takes another swig of her fresh glass of wine. Someone topped it off for her. Not sure who. The wine is seriously flowing tonight. I'm kind of scared to see the bill.
You really think so? I ask.
Kelsey nods.
Absolutely.
They haven't been together very long, and Alex seemed to sort of fall into their relationship. She pursued him heavily. It was like one minute he was kind of seeing this woman, and the next minute they're engaged. Though, I haven't seen a ring yet, so...
Yeah, I noticed that. Kind of weird, don't you think?
Totally weird. I don't know the story behind that. Wish I did, though. I'm sure whatever the reason is, if she had her choice, she'd be flashing that diamond all over town.
She seems like the type who'd want to show off the ring.
I agree, hesitating before I ask my next question.
Do you like working for him?
I do. He's fair. Tough. Sometimes he makes me crazy. He tends to forget that we're not workaholics like he is. I've had him text me at 3 in the morning asking for something. I've had him call me at 11 at night, or on a Sunday. He calls me on Sunday a lot.
What if I was at church?
Kelsey laughs. None of what she's saying surprises me. He has workaholic written all over him, and thank God he doesn't seem like such a bad guy. Maybe a little distant, but I can't blame him for that, especially with everything that's happened the last few days. He's a private person. Probably has to be, what with all that money he's got.
I hate to say this, but I doubt their marriage will last,
Kelsey says, her cheeks going pink.
You probably think I'm a terrible employee going on and on about my boss's private business, but you have to understand. That woman he plans on marrying isn't good for him. Not that I can tell him that.
Of course you can't, I reassure her, wishing I could confess the entire sordid story to her. I can't.
That would be breaking Alex's trust, and no way do I want to do that. Not now, when he's walked back into my life again.
Eleven. Alex. I am not an indecisive person. I go after what I want. My father taught me that in business and in life, if you hesitate for even a minute, you allow someone else the chance to gain on you. And that is the last thing a Wilder ever wants to happen. As the firstborn son, from the moment I was a small child, I knew I was the heir apparent to the Wilder Corporation. My sister Meredith works for the family business as well, but my brother James? He's autistic, high-functioning, plus he works at the Wilder corporate offices, but he will most likely live with my parents until they're gone. And once they're gone, He will most likely live with Meredith or me. I'd rather it be me. That's a little something I haven't discussed with Tiffany yet. Not that I need to discuss shit with her now. After what Caroline told me, I decided to do some investigating of my own. The Wilder Corporation has attorneys on retainer. All large companies do. It's smart business practice. The Wilder Corporation also has a private investigator on hand. Needless to say, I had a call into Jack Chung within minutes of Caroline's departure. It took a couple of days, and I haven't mentioned a damn word to Tiffany, just kept up the pretense of the loving, busy-with-work fiancé. But Jack is now sitting in my office this afternoon, a large envelope in his hands that I'm dying to tear into. "What did you find out?" I ask once we've moved through the niceties. The look on Jack's face is nothing short of uncomfortable.
"Let's just say you weren't wrong in your suspicions."
"So you saw her with someone else?" It's not a question, more like a statement, and that sinking feeling in my gut is more fueled by anger, not sadness. Jack nods, holds up the envelope.
"I have photos, though I don't know if you want to see them."
My eyebrows shoot up. Are they explicit?
"No, nothing like that."
Jack laughs nervously. I wave my fingers at him in the universal give them to me sign. "Let me see them." He hands the envelope over and I open it, slowly pulling the photos out. I can immediately see they've been blown up. Most likely they were taken by someone's phone from a distance. The quality isn't the best, but they're good enough for me to see that it is definitely Tiffany. And she's definitely with a man that's not me.
"I have better ones, taken with an actual camera," Jack says.
One by one, I flip through the photos, and Jack's right. He does have better photos. Most of them are taken in public places. The ones taken with the phone are at a beach, the one near a spyglass, looks like. They're sitting together in a blanket, the wind blowing through Tiffany's hair, her best asset in my opinion. And she's either leaning her head on his shoulder or turned toward him, talking animatedly. Anger simmers in my gut, making me press my lips together. That she can sit in front of me and proclaim her love, sleep in the same bed with me at night, spend my money freely on this sham of a wedding that she's planning. It's fucking unbelievable, the gall of this woman. The clearer photos are taken around Carmel, the two of them eating at a restaurant. Looks like Tuscany, a place we've actually frequented. There's one of them in front of a boutique hotel that sits right at Ocean Avenue, close to the public beach. They're embracing. Kissing. I don't recognize the man, have no idea who he is, but I wonder how he can stand to be with a woman who is engaged to be married to another man. To me. Why the hell does she even want a ring from me if she's sneaking around town with her lover?
"I can set my guys to follow her around some more,"
Jack suggests, but I shake my head. Drop the photos on the desk so they land with a soft plop. "That won't be necessary," I tell him, keeping my voice even. This is more than enough proof of her infidelity.
"They went into that hotel together,"
Jack adds, leaning over my desk to tap his fingers on the discarded photos, pulling out the one with them in front of the hotel entrance.
"There's a printed log of her every step for the last 48 hours or so. I sent it to you via email as well. One of my detectives is still tailing her as we currently speak."
"Call him off," I say, reaching into the envelope and pulling out the detailed log. He's got it broken down by days and time, all locations noted. All of her lies thoroughly examined by a professional. "This is perfect, Jack. Thank you for doing this." Jack remains still for a moment, and I can tell he's practically squirming in his seat. For having so many years being a private detective under his belt, he does seem rather uncomfortable in delivering this bad news. I'd think he'd be used to it by now.
"I'm sorry it turned out this way," he finally says. "I never enjoy delivering this sort of news to my clients."
"I already knew," I tell him. Though yes, I agree with him. The revelation hurts. But not as deep as I thought it would.
12. Caroline. I'm almost finished with a client. The bride-to-be is 45. Didn't bother bringing in her fiancé because she knows exactly what she wants and is thrilled with her choices for both save-the-date cards and the invitations when I spot a red-headed woman storming into Noteworthy. My heart trips over itself because I recognize that woman. It's Tiffany Ratcliffe, and I'm positive she's looking for me. Brandy? I smile at my new client and rise to my feet, gathering up the paperwork and holding it close to my chest along with my iPad. Do you mind if we finish everything up in the office in the back? I never do this, take clients to Iris's office, but I know exactly who Tiffany is looking for and I do not want to see her. Like, ever? Of course. Brandy stands, looking a little confused, but I come around the table, gently take her arm, and steer her towards Iris's office. We're almost done, right? So close to being done, I assure her, glancing over my shoulder to see Cassie trying to calm Tiffany down. But Tiffany doesn't appear calm. Not at all. Poor Cassie. She looks super flustered. Just a few more details, and then you can be on your way. I lock us into Iris's office and speed through the rest of the forms. Thankful Brandy is so agreeable. I hand her copies of the order forms and the credit card receipt for her purchase, then allow her to exit outside Iris's back door that leads to the parking lot. It's the door we all use at the end of the night if we're closing. We never allow customers to use it. Truthfully, I'm just stalling for time and hoping like hell Tiffany leaves. Once Brandy exits the building, I consider following after her, but I also know that Cassie would kill me if I left her alone with Tiffany. Reluctantly, I shut and lock the door, then lean against it, resting my hand over my chest so I can feel my racing heart. Damn it, I need to calm down. I also do not want to face the wrath of Tiffany. That she showed up here so angry tells me that Alex broke his word and shared the recording of me spilling my story with her. What a jerk. Part of this is my own fault, I guess, since I never did manage to call and tell him I wanted that recording destroyed. I should have. I knew I should have, but Tuesday morning I woke up with a wretched hangover after that fun night at Tuscany. The hangover lingered in the form of a splitting headache all day at work, and I went to bed early that night. Wednesday is when I schedule the majority of my appointments, so I was swamped the entire day. And then the rest of the week flew by me, so I sort of forgot about everything. Not like I actually forgot that I spilled the beans in regards to Tiffany's secret hookup, but I've been super busy with work and life stuff. It happens, right? There's a knock on the office door and I startle, my stomach twisting when the door handle wiggles. Caroline, are you in there? It's Cassie, and oh shit, she sounds stressed the hell out. Hold on. I go to the door, unlock it, and only open it an inch or two, relief flooding me when I see that Cassie is alone. Come in. She sneaks inside the office, and I shut the door again. Lock it, because I don't trust Tiffany. At all. She might try to bust inside. She's here to see me, isn't she? Cassie nods, her hazel eyes huge. Her name is Tiffany, she told me, and she's flipping out. Says that you, and I quote, ruined everything. I lean against the edge of Iris's desk, wishing she were here. She'd have no problem talking to Tiffany, calming her down, even possibly kicking her out. Me? I have no idea what to say to this woman. Considering she cheated on her fiancé, I'd say she's the one who ruined it all, but whatever. Cassie's eyes get even bigger, if that's possible. She cheated on her fiancé? I wave a hand, dismissing what I just said. It's a long story. I'll tell you about it later. I hesitate a moment before I ask. Think you can convince her that I'm already gone for the day? Cassie makes a little face. I would, but she saw you come in here and demanded to talk to you. When I told her you were busy with another client and she should come back later, she refused. Said she'd rather wait for you. So, that's what she's doing. I don't want to talk to her, I immediately say. Well, neither do I, Cassie returns a little miffed. But I already did my part. Now it's your turn. Shit. Fine, I'll talk to her, but be prepared to call 911. Cassie's gaping at me.
Are you freaking serious?
Nodding, I run a hand over my hair, tucking it behind both ears, then smooth out the skirt of my navy and white dress. She's a little unhinged. I stand up straight and smile.
How do I look?
Like you're scared, Cassie answers way too truthfully. I glare at her. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
If you want me to lie, then I'll say you look ready to kick ass and take names, Cassie quickly amends.
Perfect. Just what I need to hear. We go to the door and I flip the lock, then pause before I open it. Don't stray too far from us if you can help it, okay? I need a witness and someone to step in just in case things get crazy.
Do you really think that's going to happen?
Cassie sounds nervous, which I expect because I am nervous.
I don't know, I say honestly. Anything could happen.
Taking a deep breath, I throw open the door and both Cassie and I walk out into the mostly empty store. There's a couple near the front checking out the items in our window display, and then there's Tiffany, who's sitting at the very table I vacated only a few minutes ago. She stands the moment she spots me.
We need to talk.
Miss Ratcliffe, what brings you in today? My approach is feigning pure ignorance, as if I have no idea why she's here or what she seems so angry about. I do have to say that she looks fabulous dressed in all black. Black form-fitting sweater, black jeans, black Louboutins on her feet, and a black Louis Vuitton crossbody bag resting on her hip. Her hair is curlier than I remember it from before, and her pursed lips are blood red. Damn it. She's the one who appears ready to kick some ass and take some names, not me. More like I'm Little Mary Sunshine with my navy dress trimmed with white and the stupid smile on my face. All I need is a wide-brimmed white hat and I look ready for an Easter egg hunt.
I think you know exactly what brings me in.
She is speaking way too loudly for my tastes, and I'm dying to take her into Iris's office. But then again, I need Cassie as my witness and peacekeeper. Plus, I don't want to take the risk of putting myself into a tiny room alone with a pissed-off woman. No freaking thank you. Let's sit down, I offer, but she doesn't budge from where she stands. Okay, maybe not.
You told Alex I cheated on him.
She practically spits out, her gaze fiery. The couple near the window display both glance in our direction. I flash them a quick, reassuring smile before returning my attention to Tiffany. This probably isn't the right time to discuss this.
There is no right time to discuss this, you stupid bitch. You ruined everything for me.
She lifts her hands up in front of her, and I notice they're clutched into fists, and that her nail polish matches the bloody color of her lips. You should probably leave, I tell her. Iris would do the same thing. At least, I think she would. There's no need for that sort of language in our store.
There's no need for you being such a goddamn snitch, either. How dare you tell him such lies?
She starts to walk toward me, but I walk faster, putting the table in between us. I let him know what I saw when I dropped off the save the date cards. I say as calmly as possible. That's it.
You didn't see shit,
she hisses. She's really good at hissing. I remember her doing this to Alex during our first meeting. She should be good at it since she's such a snake. I almost smile at my little mental joke.
Please leave.
I tell her again, noting the tremor in my voice. I hope she doesn't notice. You don't need to cause a disturbance, Tiffany. What happened to your relationship is no one's fault but your own.
Oh, fuck you and your sanctimonious attitude.
She grabs one of the heavy invitation binders and shoves it right off the table, sending it and all the papers that were there flying to the floor. The browsing couple exits the store hurriedly, the bell ringing above the door indicating their departure.
Cassie,
I call, my gaze never leaving Tiffany's. I can't believe how calm I sound.
Call 911, okay?
Tiffany's jaw hardens, her lips thinning until they almost disappear.
You'd really do that? Get the cops involved?
I think she's already doing that. I send a quick glance in Cassie's direction to see she's holding the phone, but it doesn't look like she's dialing.
Fuck you!
Tiffany retorts, kicking the invitation binder so it goes skittering across the floor.
You'll pay for this.
She tells me just before she stomps her way through the store, passing by a petrified Cassie before she shoves the door open and exits the building.
Holy crap, Cassie says, her mouth hanging open. That chick is crazy.
No kidding. 13. I arrive at Noteworthy almost every morning since the incident, with apprehension gnawing at my insides. Lovely description, I know, but it's accurate. For instance, this morning, after having a horrific dream where Tiffany came at me with a hammer, I woke up feeling so awful I couldn't eat breakfast. I didn't even bother ordering my usual vanilla latte, if you can believe it. My stomach was too upset at the mere thought of finding Tiffany lurking near the front door of the store, lying in wait so she could attack me. Luckily enough, there was no one lying in wait, just Iris waiting outside for me, a sympathetic smile on her face. Cassie convinced me to call Iris after our run-in with Tiffany that afternoon, and when I told her what happened, she came right back to the store and somehow brought the police with her. She encouraged me to file a report, which I did, and then she consoled me back in her office, where I essentially had a breakdown. Much crying, shaking, and whining was involved. Once I got that out of my system, I went back to my apartment, ordered a pizza, and stuffed my face while telling Stella every last detail of my confrontation with Tiffany. I gotta say, Caroline, ever since this guy walked back into your life, it's been nonstop crazy drama, Stella said at the end of the evening, right before we went to bed. Stella is correct. Which means my life is probably much better without Alex Wilder in it. I haven't talked to him in days, and I'm okay with that, mostly. I don't want to spark any attention from Tiffany by making contact with Alex. It's bad enough how shaky and insecure she's left me.
How are you feeling this morning?
Iris asks once we've entered the hushed quiet of the store. Tired. A little wounded. I offer her a weak smile. I hate that I'm not over it yet, but being harassed by Tiffany shook me up, and not in a good way. My light has been dimmed, so to speak. But I'll be all right.
Eventually.
Don't let her ugly behavior make you feel bad.
Iris wraps me in a hug, and I return it, clinging to her. My mom and I aren't that close, and I haven't had the most affectionate upbringing. Carter and I saw our dad on weekends until we were both in high school, when he moved out of state. Now that we're adults, my brother and I aren't really that close either, and I'm not a hugger unless I've had a couple glasses of wine and I'm loving on my girlfriends. But when Iris wraps me up in those gentle arms of hers, I feel safe. She is truly like my second mom. Thank you, I murmur once I pull away from her. I needed that.
How's your schedule today? Perhaps you should take a day off.
She starts, but I shake my head. I need to work. I need the distraction. Plus, I have an appointment this morning. At 11, with a bride-to-be I've met before, a real sweetheart who I know won't threaten me or call me names. Iris knows this has been hanging heavy over me, and she's constantly offering me to take the day off, take it easy. I don't want to, though. I'd rather be here at Noteworthy. I feel safer here.
If you only want to work half a day, that's fine.
Iris tells me, and I nod, appreciative of her kindness. Everyone's acting like I've been diagnosed with a terrible illness or I've been involved in an awful accident, when really, I just had some crazed woman yell at me. Though I guess it's fairly serious that she threatened me and became violent in the store. A shiver moves through me, and I push any and all thoughts of Tiffany aside. I can't let this deranged woman linger in my mind for too long. Soon she'll take over and become all I think about, and I don't need that. Instead of moping over my predicament, I go on an organizing mission. I throw out a bunch of old invitation catalogs and sort through a stack of new ones. I clean out my desk drawers, which I should have done months ago, but we all know how that goes. By the time my client shows up promptly at 11, I'm feeling good about my progress, and we have a lovely meeting that takes less than 30 minutes to complete. I'd given her sample catalogs the first time we met, and she'd done her research, coming back to order what she wanted. I love simple, thorough customers like that. After she left, I continued to clean, and clean and clean and clean, to the point that every time I saw Iris, she was watching me with an amused expression on her face. By the time 1 o'clock rolled around and the entire invitation section was sparkling and organized, she came up to me and said, "Please know that I'm joking, but I'm starting to think lunatic customers who threaten you are some sort of incentive." I laugh and shake my head. I just needed something to occupy my mind so I wouldn't think about it. "I have plenty more tasks for you to do if you're still looking for a distraction," Iris suggests with a warm smile. "I'd be happy to help. Go take your lunch. I'll have a list for you when you come back." The concerned look on Iris's face tempts me to give her another hug, but I hold back.
"Lunch with you twice in 1 week? How'd I get so lucky?"
Sarah teases once we're seated and ready to eat our sandwiches. More like I'm the lucky one. Turns out Sarah was free for lunch, so I didn't have to eat alone. "I need to tell you what happened." I launch into my story, secretly satisfied, justified by the increasing looks of horror on Sarah's face as I describe everything Tiffany did and said. By the time I wrap up my tale, she's shaking her head, a look of total disbelief on her pretty face. Have I mentioned how pretty Sarah is? Because she so is. She's also adorable, tiny, and sweet-natured. Plus, she wears the cutest dresses all the time. She's got long, dark hair and bright blue eyes and a feisty personality, as in, she doesn't put up with any shit, which is a good trait to have considering she works at a high-scale lingerie shop and sometimes, a lot of the time, she has to deal with customers who are secret perverts and want her to try on the lingerie she sells. And that is no joke. She sounds crazy. "I'm so glad Iris got the police involved," Sarah says once I'm done. I've been talking so much I haven't really eaten my sandwich, while Sarah is more than halfway finished with hers.
"You might need to get a restraining order."
The cops mentioned that can be the next step, but she needs to up her crazy game before I can file one. I shudder, take a sip of my Diet Coke. And I really don't want her to up her crazy game.
"No, you definitely don't," Sarah agrees.
She stirs her straw in her drink.
"Have you talked to Alex since all of this happened?"
"I haven't." I tear into my chips and munch on one, then another before I speak again. By the way, why are Doritos so delicious, yet so bad for us? I blame my chip indulgence on feeling low today. Thanks, Tiffany, for pushing me to eat Doritos.
"Why, do you think I should tell him?" "Yes, you totally should. Maybe he could talk to her. Tell her to leave you alone," Sarah suggests.
"No," I shake my head. "No way. I don't want to get him involved. She's already so pissed at me, at us. She probably thinks we're conspiring against her."
"This is a mess," Sarah says with a sigh.
"Tell me all about it."
I agree.
"I don't want anything to do with her. I wish she'd just leave me alone. Did I tell you how scared I've been to show up at work every day? Iris meets me at the front every day so I don't have to walk in by myself. I'm that afraid Tiffany might be outside waiting for me."
"That's terrible," Sarah says, a sympathetic look on her face.
"What if she turns into a stalker? What am I going to do then?"
"I doubt she'll turn into a stalker. Maybe she'll stalk her ex, but not you."
Sarah takes a sip of her drink.
"Maybe this could bring the two of you closer."
"The two of who? Me and Tiffany? Yeah, just who I want to be close to." I roll my eyes.
"No, not Tiffany," Sarah says with a little smile. "You and Alex."
"Is she for real right now? I figure I'll never see him again."
"I doubt that. I'm not his type. He likes phony girls with big boobs."
I hold my hands out in front of my chest to demonstrate. "And he wouldn't be interested in me. I'm the deliverer of bad news who ruined his engagement." Sarah nods, pursing her lips. Yeah, true. I'm sure you'd just be a reminder of what he once had.
Yeah. My voice is distant, and I stare off into space for a few seconds, remembering our moment right before I left his office, when he had his arms around me, and I swear he was staring at my lips, as if he was considering kissing me. I can admit that I wanted him to, despite knowing what a disastrous idea that is. I guess we were both just caught up in the moment, and thank God I came to my senses and pushed him away. Alex seemed like a nice guy, a driven, determined guy, and I can't deny that he's absolutely gorgeous. But there is no way I can be interested in him. He just ended his engagement. He's a man on the rebound who couldn't possibly be interested in a woman like me. It doesn't matter that we shared a kiss when we were kids. That was a lifetime ago. Things have changed. We have changed. Our past connection is just that. In the past. What's sad is there's not much happening right now in my romantic life. As in, it's a vast dry desert. I wish I could meet a guy, and not through some dating app either. A nice guy, with a good job and decent manners. Someone who's interesting, considerate, and caring, and who makes me laugh. I bet old Alex Wilder couldn't make me laugh. He doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humor. Though when we were kids, I remember he was always cracking me up. Any good prospects lately? Sarah asks, her voice snapping me out of my thoughts. I think she's trying to change the subject so we can talk about something fun like dating. Though, right now, dating isn't much fun for any of us. None of my friends have boyfriends, or even semi-steady dates. Hell, none of us even have a friends with benefits deal with a guy. Not that we need a man in our lives, but it's nice to have someone in your life. We're all searching for a companion, right? Not really, I tell her. I've been too busy working lately to even consider dating anyone. Working and wasting my evening hours binge-watching shows on Netflix, or fighting off crazy women at work. Whoops. Same. I mean, there's that one guy that keeps coming into Bliss who irritates me, and I think he somehow gets off on it, but whatever. You know, the one who's constantly buying lingerie for his many, many girlfriends? Sarah laughs. I don't get him. You told me he was hot, I remind her. He's extremely hot, Sarah emphasizes. But he's too much of a man whore. He also acts like he hates me half the time, which is infuriating. But it's also like we're angry, yet eye-fucking each other. Does that make sense? Sarah seems truly perplexed. Sounds like you two need to hate-fuck? As in, you need to do him and get him out of your system, I suggest. Maybe. I don't know. Sarah shrugs. Anyway, he's a client, and my boss says the last thing we should do is mingle with our clients. And when she says mingle, she really means have sex. I like that, using mingle as the code word for sex. I smile. It's been a while since I've mingled. Same, Sarah says, her expression solemn just before we both burst out laughing. Thank God for friends.
14. Alex. Are you really going to supervise me while I pack my things? Tiffany's hostile tone doesn't faze me, nor does her aggressive behavior, but with the haphazard way she's tossing her clothing into her suitcase. Every item lands like an explosion. Yes. We agreed to meet at the house after I got off work, and we're currently in my bedroom. I'm lucky she doesn't have more than a large suitcase full of stuff to gather. She's only lived here for the past month or so, and most of her belongings are still down in Southern California in storage. She pauses mid-toss, a pile of lacy frilly things clutched in one hand, her gaze wild as she glares at me.
What? Afraid I'm going to steal something?
I shrug, don't bother answering her.
You're impossible.
She drops the lacy things in the middle of her suitcase, then strides across my bedroom, throwing open the closet door and going inside.
I don't know why I bothered staying with you for so long,
she says as she rips her shirts from the hangers. If she keeps this up, she's going to ruin something. We weren't even together that long. but I don't bother pointing out that particular fact. I know why, I tell her when she exits the closet, clutching her shirts to her chest, as she makes her way to the bed where the open suitcase awaits. Tiffany drops the shirts inside, doesn't even bother folding them.
Please, do tell me.
My money. The hurt look she sends me makes me want to laugh. So phony. Why didn't I see it before? Maybe because you turned a blind eye.
Do you really think the only reason I was with you is because of your money?
She asks, her voice soft, her gaze beguiling. Does she really think she can turn this around in her favor?
That's not true, Alex. I fell in love with you, and you fell in love with me.
I snort my disbelief, and her eyes narrow. You fell in love with my bank account, I remind her.
And all you ever wanted was a doll who'd look good on your arm, who did everything you told her to. That's not how life works.
She's screaming at me, her words like a punch, and deep down inside, damn it, I know she's not wrong.
At least Ed knows how to treat a woman,
she retorts, her chin set in a stubborn line as she closes her suitcase and starts zipping it.
He makes me feel wanted. You just make me feel like an afterthought.
I'm sure you and Ed will